This is a business that it's all about information. If you're not very good at taking in new information and learning and synthesizing that information to come up with a decision, then probably this is not something that you want to do.
School and press
it can.
Hey, look how they figure your kid.
This is not good.
Can't press it.
In fact, it has already been done. You don't need a farmer. You don't need a farmer to do this. You need a mechanical engineer to do the tractor. He farm 1,000 acres.
Greetings, traders, and welcome to the Traders Show. Again, today the boys are here, me, Ken, and Caleb, to deliver more content to you guys. Another episode for the podcast, and today we're going to be talking about an interesting topic. It was suggested by one of our students. He asked me a question and said that we can actually do a podcast around that question. And I think it is important to also listen to your crowd and deliver something that comes from them also. So today we're going to talk about, basically this student asked me this question. How do you know trading is not meant for you? Or at what point do you accept and give in to say this industry is okay, this game is not meant for me, and probably let me do other things? So it was a very interesting question, challenging question again. I feel like most people in trading, it's very hard to know if you've gotten to the point where you want to be, because you're always pushing your goals ahead, so you never get to where you always want to be. So I feel like every trader has not gotten to where they really, really want to be. Every other time you're trying to improve on yourself, improve on your performance, outbeat the market, and also break your own records. So just like any other sport, it doesn't get easier, it just always gets harder and harder as you grow in trading, as you amass more capital, as you manage, again, capital probably for the public, investment management and all everything. So it becomes just a harder mountain to climb by the time. So let's discuss with me and my boys here probably what signs can show you that trading is not meant for me. And again, I think it goes hand in hand to again, similar question or answer is, I believe this is meant for me. How do you know, again, how do you believe in yourself to know this is meant for you, and don't stay very delusional? I think that is what we can talk about today. Ken, Caleb.
Yeah, what's up, guys? So welcome to today's show. As Tarasa said, we'll just answer the question in-depthly of the question the student, it was a student.
Yep.
The student asked Tarasa, I'm sure it was one of his classes, and discuss about what traits can easily tell us or tell you that you're not, trading is not meant for you. It's not cast on stone such that if you tell you this is your trait and that's, and if you resonate and say that's how you are, that trading is not meant for you. It's just something to be aware of, and maybe you can change it if you can. If you can't, really, just do another career. For example, for me, I can't be a doctor because I get those feeling, I don't know what feeling, when I see blood coming out. So I can't handle that.
A phobia for blood or
something. That if it's coming out a lot, I can't.
Okay.
So I can't be a doctor.
You
so
can't, or you don't like it.
I don't like the oozing of blood, so becoming a doctor will be very hard for me. I can push myself.
Can't is a very strong word.
Yeah, that one, I can't. I may have chosen my career, that one.
He's not willing to do it, so
he's
he
not
can't
willing.
Do it.
Exactly.
I'm not willing.
Not willing
I cannot do it. Yeah. So, but for that's sort of an example. For example, Mtu Mjengo, if you are afraid of heights, you can't build tall buildings.
Mm. Makes sense.
You are so much.
If you come, Musha, at a jenga.
Okay, this is true.
You want to tell me the engineers who are not afraid of heights?
No, engineers don't go up. Msewa Mjengo. I've not said engineer. Said Msewa Mjengo. The girl's brick by brick,
like
going
someone
up the
like
building.
A friend.
That girl have a
I'm
very
sure
hard
Kolo
time.
Can't. Kolo can't. Kolo can't build.
Exactly. Kolo is one of our friends, very fearful of heights. Kolo can't. So those are just examples.
They're just traits. As Caleb is saying, not that you can't really do it, but shows you this is not meant for you.
It's not meant for you. Even but you know.
You can, yes, but
leave Ken alone. Ken, we went, I'm not even not introduce yourself, but Ken, we met with Ken when we were in mechanical engineering. Went with Ken to class for welding. It was we were making a bottle opener workshop. So you have a metal, you have that a slab of metal, and you've been given measurements and all that. Ken didn't do it.
But that doesn't mean I can't do it. It's just as it was not. It was not.
Ken is not
natural.
He's not hands-on. Yeah, exactly. So you see, so those are traits. It's just traits. Not that you can't do it, but you're not willing. Even that energy. Did you do it?
Yeah, eventually I did it. I was in school, so I had to do it.
Yeah, but it wasn't meant for him. But anyway,
I think what you're basically trying to say is, you can't do that for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like, you won't enjoy doing it for the rest of your life. Every day will be a struggle.
It will be a very bad struggle. Okay. Yep. So yeah. So those, now we'll bring those, what we think, traits for someone who's not meant for trading, and we'll talk about those traits. So yeah, that's it from me, Ken.
So hello, traders. Welcome back to another episode. Like my colleagues have said, my name is Ken. We normally have these podcasts every week where we share with you guys different topics on markets, entrepreneurship, and business. So today's topic has been laid out. So we're just going to do a good job of trying to pass along what you've learned from our experience on how you can know this is. And it's a common question, actually, whether how can I know? I don't know what happens to people when they're trading, but it's a common question because I've also... I received the question from a couple of people. So we're going to shed some light on how you can best know. And I think as you answer that one also, you can know how you can be on the other side of the world. So it's a very, very interesting topic. Yep.
Okay. So I think as we've all said, it's an interesting topic to pick it. And even as before we get into trading, I feel like we can even go back and ask ourselves, because I feel like we all left an industry whereby we felt it was not meant for us. We were all engineers and we left engineering. So it goes back to thinking, why did I choose to leave engineering? Why was engineering not meant for me? And I felt like something else which I didn't know much about it was meant for me. So again, that question, really, I don't know much about trading. At least I know some physics from high school. I've done some chemistry. I know about engineers, great engineers in Kenya. You know, engineering is a good profession. But I chose not to go for engineering and chose to go for something which I didn't know anyone locally who was successful. I didn't know where I could go and learn it, but I chose to go for it. So again, that question, really, I can pick it from that point. Like, why did I first choose to leave an industry which probably is prominent out here? People, they say it's a prominent course, ideally. No, I'm not sure if it is.
No, it is. What makes it prominent? Engineering.
Yeah. But it's hard.
If today... No, Caleb, no.
What makes it prominent?
If today, engineering is innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Innovation is at the heartbeat of everything that moves this country. It's the heartbeat of technology. So if you're a well-trained engineer, then you're basically trained to be an innovator. And you've been taught the foundational principles of innovating some things in some fields.
Do most engineers innovate?
Unfortunately not. Because most people don't get to that point.
That's true. Mm.
But if today we were to go to a different continent, we'd only need engineers and doctors.
Yeah.
Traders are much a GQ.
Yeah, that's true.
I know. Mm, so that's why engineering...
For now or what? Or that's how it is?
That's how it is, yeah.
Okay, but see, in the end...
You need farmers, bro.
Yeah.
Eh? At the basis, you need farmers.
Engineers can innovate things that will farm for us. In fact, it has already been done. You don't
those
need
are
a
farmers
you
now.
Don't need a farmer to do this. You need ile mechanical engineer to use ile tractor. He farm 1,000 acres. You don't need a farm.
But you also need people like us, economists.
You're coming in when you're in any capitalistic society.
So without
without a capitalistic society, you're useless.
I'm useless.
In an economy where we're functioning without money, you don't really need you.
Yeah, that's true. So you need innovators, though.
You need innovators.
So where did you live? Ask him the question. Where did you live engineering? To do this thing called Forex.
I think Lavi was starting. Okay, so okay. First one to hear Lavi, probably. You then I'll no give problem. Out my own opinion.
Yeah.
And I think first it boils down first to just interest. What interests you? What sparks your interest? What makes you want to wake up in the morning and learn something or learn a new skill or pursue something? And
in line with that, I'll ask a question, just as you're answering. Do you choose your interests or do your interests choose you?
Do you choose my interests or interests choose me? I think I choose my interests.
The egg and the hen. Hen and the egg.
Yes.
Are you sure?
You choose your interests.
Do you choose your interests or do your interests
I
choose
think you? My interest chose me.
Not I mean, Google, my interest chose
me. Me, I think I chose it.
I feel like you...
You had a choice.
You don't have that free will that much.
Of course, not 100%, but most times you're the one who makes a decision to...
No.
Pick something or not.
Don't
pick the
choose
other one.
What to decide. What you decide chooses you.
So yours is a fact, or it's your own opinion.
It's my own. It's a balance of the two. Factually, there's enough science. There's enough evidence from neuroscience to show that much of what is happening, for example, when you make some decisions, cannot be boiled down to a step-by-step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you get the outcome.
Mm. That's true.
So,
mm-hmm.
So there is enough evidence to show that.
Mm.
But there is still that aspect of okay. So it's a very tricky thing. It's a very tricky thing. You can say that.
Yeah, for me, my belief situations comes to us, sort of, planned and randomly. But I feel like again we have. Some decision making power to on your own to do it, because I feel like you decided to leave school and not.
If I just add on it a bit, I think it depends on the interest. For example, someone who decided to do art as a career, I think the interest chose him. But someone who decides to go for something like engineering, I think he chooses the interest.
Why?
It's more of a... You see, art comes natural. You grew up in a certain environment that molded you in a certain way. And you ended up taking it... for example, if you want to become... Like if you want to become a singer, you had the talent, the interest was in you, so it chose you, you did it. But unlike something like engineering, I came to learn that this is engineering... Or then I choose to be interested in it. It didn't choose me.
So basically what you're trying to say is most people don't pursue their interests. They pursue what society has told them is interesting.
You're making it deep, but more or less.
More or less that.
More or less.
Because okay. That is true. Like most people don't pursue their innate talents.
Exactly.
That's true. Yes,
you
yes.
pursue what society has told you is precious, valuable. That's what you mean.
Can make you money.
Okay.
So continue us. We've
exactly. So for me was that was one really way that I thought about it. Like, okay, why did I leave school? And one was majorly just interest. I was trying to balance both. I was trying to look at both when I was in campus. I was in class sometimes. I was looking at markets and I could, like, it was visible, like one had an upper hand against the other. I was spending more time on one against the other.
You used to spend more time on the library reading about charts. Than
yeah, reading about charts, overnights, we're just reading. I had more notes. I had more notes on trading, but Sina notes are engineering.
yeah.
I would miss classes probably because I woke up late because I was sleeping late night reading watching markets. And that just plainly shows you, okay, if you're interested more in this thing, it makes sense to leave the other and go for this. And I feel now the same again comes into trading. If you come into trading and you're spending less hours on trading and more hours on the other thing, it makes sense to go for the other thing and leave trading. Because trading demands you again to give it a bigger chunk probably of your interest. If you have two things probably you're pursuing, I believe like trading will force you. How the nature of how the markets have been built will most times tend to force you to put more energy into learning trading than pursuing anything else, even if you're struggling much on basically maybe life, pressures from maybe parents and society. Most times I feel like people who end up to the other side of trading, basically now those who knew it was meant for them, they didn't have a second option, or they knew this is what I want to do. I have an interest in it. I'm going to spend more time on it than anything else. And I feel like that can show you that if it is for you. But if you're giving trading 2 hours and another thing 8 hours a day, I think it won't work for you. So again, it can show you probably time commitment is the reason why probably there's interest and there's time commitment. Of course, you can be doing it 2 hours because you're not really interested with it. But again, you might be committed so much to something, to maybe your own, maybe you're developed into an industry and you're 10 years already maybe into tech. You get only 1 hour a day to look at trading. But you're really interested in it, but you don't have time. You have the interest, but time, and also again, as I've said, like, am I willing to trade off the other thing for trading? Am I willing to trade off my tech job to come and learn trading afresh? So again, I think those are my two pointers I can start with. Interest and time commitment. If you don't have that interest, probably it's not an industry for you. And I feel it works across multiple industries. Interest is very important. If, again, you want to just be not average but good and even great, interest is important. And again, how much time are you spending on that craft? So again, if you don't have time commitment for that specific craft, again, probably it won't be for you, or it might get to a point and you might just say, okay, let me quit trading and do the other thing. I think I can start there.
So those are two questions you've answered. You left school and part of the reason for trading is that for some people. Okay, I'll answer the same. In terms of school, I said it a lot. I didn't like school. So there's nothing much there. Okay, I think I also didn't like what I was doing. It wasn't just school. Because I went after and studied film and TV at ADMI. And while I was there, I enjoyed it. I think I was doing well in my exams. I was committed. I went up and out and above to learn different skills that were not only being taught in school. So I went and taught myself how to edit. Yes, the teacher was teaching me. But in terms of what I was doing in engineering, I think it's the same answer with you, Staras. I was just not interested. I thought maybe I'd be good at it. Tested it. There's no interest at all, no passion, no nothing. No willingness, zero. Which,
then again, for me, up for interest, yeah, like, I was very underwhelmed by the engineering experience I got to.
Underwhelmed?
Underwhelmed.
What do you mean?
Like, my expectations were,
like, I'll go to do engineering.
You're going to do
coding. And you're not
coding. You're not coding, like, hey, like, yo.
Calculus.
Looking at some.
You wanted action.
The class is, class doesn't look like an engineering class. It looks like a chapel. Like, there's no practice. It's majorly theory.
How long did you do that engineering?
One semester.
1.5 semesters.
That's not enough.
But again, I was getting the same experience from even older guys. I had friends who were in third year
doing even things like
actuarial science. You know, when you're in high school, when you're told actuarial science, you feel like this is
the thing. The type of school you go to determines a lot.
Exactly, true. Because again, if probably I'd have gotten a better place to start from. Because, yo.
If you went to somewhere where it was practical, and all
that. And engineering in China, and go engineer.
Probably ningemaliza hiyo 4 years.
If you went to Germany.
Germany.
Uh-huh. It'd be in a different case.
Go ahead.
But anyway, everything happened for us to be in this sitting here. So for me, like I said, interest, I just didn't like engineering. And I think I found it It's like you're saying, Taras, it wasn't what I expected. Got into it. I dropped biology in Form 2. I'm getting biology in mechanical engineering. How? With killing that biology. Mm. It didn't make sense. But anyway, that's why I decided to leave that. It was almost the same thing. No passion, no interest, no zeal, no ambition in that side. So it just, and I think it just didn't make sense. So now when it comes to trading and why some people might find it hard, now to answer my first pointers, it can be very hard for you if you're not someone who can be act cool or remain, I don't know if nonchalant is a word, but remain cool or control your emotions.
Calm
during
under pressure.
Pressure, yeah. Stressful times. Because trading is stress. It's pressure. It's you need to be on your toes all the time. And the pressure that is going to come from it, when market is volatile, you need to make a very quick decision. Because in terms of psychology and all that, the three responses people have, fight, freeze, flight. Now, if a person will just freeze and you can't do anything under pressure, under stressful pressure especially, it's not just any pressure, stressful pressure. Because, one, there's money on the line. Maybe you're losing money. The other side, maybe you're eager to make money at the end of the month. You have certain pressures that are not even realistic in trading. So if you personally cannot control that, cannot... and so to say, it's not that personally I don't think I was that way when I was starting. I was a bit patient and a bit calm. I didn't have a lot of attachment to money, but that doesn't mean say that I didn't have pressure. But I think when I was starting out, there was no that too much. I believe when I started, if you remember well, when I used to trade, for me, why I can say I didn't have that pressure is because I wasn't risking. Mm-hmm. I used to risk 0.1%.
Yeah,
I came from that side where I was okay to lose. I think Ken also came from a side where he had played a bit with money, so he was also okay with risking a certain amount. So that pressure was a bit reduced. So if you can't handle that pressure under trading, under stressful times, under when money's on the line, not only your money, because you want to make that money to satisfy other things outside of your life, such as bills and those things. And those things bring pressure. And then you take that pressure into trading. Now, you've already spoiled the game, okay? Because you're creating pressure where there's no pressure. Because market is not telling you, okay, you know, today I'm going to move fast. Let's start making fast decisions. It's you who wants to make those fast decisions so that you can have fast returns. Okay, but my main point on that point is to say, if you can't handle pressure under stressful times, then trading is not meant for you. It's going to be very hard, and that's something you should work on. If you're someone who loses your temper, you lose your cool, you lose your posture very fast, then start working on that, because that is, I can sit in a day, and Taras has come and told me today, I won't even know he's lost right now where we are, not where we used to be, right now where we are, can hear someone lost $500 today. And there's no pressure. You're looking for the next trade, the next opportunity. We go through that trade, we talk about it. Okay, you lost it because you followed the plan, you did this and that. It's totally fine. Someone else can maybe has come, he's made $1,000. If you've been watching his stories, he shares a lot of his trade ideas and his trade setups. The losses, both the losses and the profits. So he's made a good $1,000 in a day. Very cool. You finish, you go to your class, you finish your day. There's no pressure even to make more. You're already done with that. Even if you've lost it, there's no pressure to regain it. Exactly. So, and I think that took time for us. So, like I was saying earlier on, it's not that we were like that early on. I remember those days when you used to risk even $5. $10.
A $10 loss is going to soon.
It was very stressful. Mm-hmm. I've lost $10.
Hey.
You start looking for another trade very fast. You're like, hey, I need to recoup this money. You lose another one. Now you get into that roller coaster of emotions. But right now, it will just laugh about it, tell Ken. It can be stressful in that okay, I've lost money, maybe you've lost 3 trades in a row, but you can control it.
And I feel like it's not stressful when you know you have followed your plan.
Exactly. Like, yeah, when you don't follow your plan,
when you know
you did something,
I messed up, you know, like it becomes stressful when you know I did the wrong thing. This was not my intention. That can be stressful.
Yeah. So to start off, that's my point. You can continue, Ken.
Okay. So to answer the first question, which is why leave school to pursue trading? Interest cuts across, obviously. So you think you definitely have to realize that you're more interested in one thing over the other. But the second one that I'd pick was I was making more progress in trading than engineering. Like I was learning and understanding trading better than I used to understand engineering. So I found that my mind was, if I was working, I would be thinking more about trading than engineering. And I would be thinking about the puzzles I'm not understanding in trading rather than engineering. So making that fast progress also helps you in knowing, like, maybe this is a path I should follow. So that's the first thing that I'd say. Monitor your first year. Have you made significant progress? Are you at a point? Because you've even seen in our students, someone comes in, they've done your classes for 4 or 5 months. Hey, the technicals are quite good. You can see some progress. Another one has been here for some time, but
nothing.
Not much progress is taking place, you know? So I feel like that early progress can be a very, very good indicator. Now, to answer the second one that I'd come in with is, this is a business that it's all about information. If you're not very good at taking in new information and learning and synthesizing that information to come up with a decision, then probably this is not something that you want to do. Because this business requires you to read a lot, listen to a lot of podcasts, speak to a lot of people, read a lot of news. Like, this business is all about just taking in new information, updating your views, taking in new information, updating your views, learning new things, updating your views. So it's a constant, constant learning process. And if you hate that, then you'll have the worst experience, you know. You won't really enjoy doing it. Because before you make a decision and I want to buy, let's say, Bitcoin, you need to read the white paper, you need to look at the cycles, you need to look at the history. All that is taking in information. Whether through this podcast you're listening, that's why I said taking in information. I didn't say you must be good at reading, no. But you must take in, you must have a process of taking in information, you know, and as much as you can. Is it that you talk to people, experts in those fields? You ask the right questions. Mm-hmm. How do you just manage to get in as much information as possible before you make a decision?
True.
I think that would be my first point. If you're very poor at such things and you love maybe more routine jobs and things which don't require you to learn daily, then probably this is not something that you should do.
Okay.
Well, great. I think I agree with you all because same like taking information. I think much of our first years was...
Wait, as you answer, how do you best take in information yourself?
Of course, it's reading. There's documentaries. I like watching documentaries a lot. Articles. Summarize articles probably of a book or articles. But yeah, majorly reading ebooks, physical books, documentaries. Again, of course, talking to people and picking people's brains.
Yeah. And you can?
Mine is reading. I'm not very good at taking in information as people are maybe talking or something, but when I'm reading, I can take in a lot.
Okay. Continue, Ross.
Yeah, I was saying, I think that is exactly what you were doing back in the days when you were now starting to learn afresh about trading. It was going to the lab, watching lots of webinars, watching lots of videos on YouTube. It was just taking information, as Ken is saying. And that is now, I think, the first step, just even before you even get deep, just learning how to trade.
Yes.
Mm. You've not suffered. Just learning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. My next point is, can be your approach to risk is very important. In trading, the balance between risk aversion and risk seeking is very, very critical. If you are too risk aversive, the game probably won't work for you. If you're too risk-seeking, the game, again, won't work for you. And that comes again from changing your own personalities again. Probably in your own life, you're a risk-aversive person. You have now to train your brain again, to train your body again, to start taking risks. If you're too risk-seeking, you need again to see how you can train your brain and
by
train
risk,
your body.
You mean financial risk, not risk in general?
Risk in general. It's risk in general. Like, you'll find there are some people who are just, like, very too risk-seeking, you see. Even in careers, like those guys who climb, like, glass towers free, like, with nothing, almost 200 floors up, that guy is too risk-seeking, you see.
But risk is perspective. To him, is not.
It is. He knows it's risky. He knows it. He knows it. He knows it. He knows it's risky. He knows.
Now that I disagree with you. You know, it's like, if you talk about markets and trading, people say it's very risky. But you know that you're trained. Is it that risky, really?
It's risky, but I know how to manage it.
Exactly.
But that does not eliminate the risk. The risk is there. It's risky. That's the point. That was the question. It's risky. You can't eliminate the risk. That is, we can't eliminate risk.
Listen, think about elimination of risk is
elimination of reward.
No,
if it's not risky.
At least the same, like, the framing that Caleb is trying to put it is, to you, the level of risk that's contained because you can't climb those things is very different from someone who's
climbing them
10,000 hours climbing.
But he knows it's risky.
But the level of risk is not the same.
The level of risk, how can...
If you don't know how to...
If you look at that guy who's climbing without holding things,
look at
you, he's risking.
If the probability of him falling from that... You won't tell me now it was not risky because...
No. It's still...
It's risky.
Look, his risk is... I was saying perspective.
You get what I'm saying? For me, I'm looking at it as risky. And him, probably just because he's worked on it, he feels it's not risky. I'm a less risky.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Less risky, not so bad.
That's why we've said the level of risk.
Yeah, for that person. Him will say, if you look at him, he'll say, this guy can die, he'll fall. To him, he's saying, the worst, I can break maybe my hand. Yeah, I'll shake him by.
I'm saying, again, this guy knows I can.
Whether I'm with Kali.
And I feel like, again, that comes again into trading. However much I spend hours and hours into trading, trading will always stay to become risky. The same level of risk, enye ilikuwa hapo when I was starting. Just that I have known how to manage the level of risks better. But the risk is the same. The risk is probably risk of ruin. It doesn't disappear.
Just like that girl's claiming risk of life.
Risk of life.
That doesn't disappear. If he falls, he'll die.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's been able to manage it. But his perspective on it is different than someone who's not doing it.
Yeah, exactly. That is now what is keeps pushing him. Because, you know, I can manage this risk better. Exactly. But now if you don't know how to manage that risk better, now you know, okay, probably I'm too risk-seeking. It's not working here. I need to bring it down. Probably I'm too risk-aversive. It's not working here. I need to adjust it to a level whereby now it makes sense to get reasonable returns from the markets. So for me, I think on that point, I'll agree. I'll tend to say risk is always there, but now you need to know how to balance that risk, how to manage that risk better. How to ensure, okay, I don't lose. I can lose, yes, but when I lose a percentage. I lose two. You see?
Are you a generally risk person? Do you take risks?
I can say I'm 6 out of 10. Just top of the head. Of course, sijangalia multiple things. You know, you need to look at things differently. Financial risk. There's life risk. You know, if I enjoy it, okay, blow account with daddy. I lose money, but I lose life. So, of course, there's different things.
It's all risky.
It's all risky.
And life is risky, too.
It's all risky.
Exactly. So
the biggest risk is not taking a risk.
True.
Yeah, so again, for me, I believe your perspective to risk, again, really matters if you'll make it in this game in the long term. And if, because if you can't be okay with risking $100, of course, there's no way you'll be okay with risking $1,000. You'll be going mad. And again, so I believe you just need to know, okay, even as I become a better trader, I need to be more comfortable with the risks I'm taking. I need to manage them better because they'll always grow. Because 5 years ago, you were risking $10.
Yeah.
Now you're risking $500, $1,000, $2,000, you see. So again, it's all about knowing how to adjust your perspective to risk according to how markets work, not according to how you work.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like on risk, really, really, it depends on the principles of the markets and things like benchmark rates, return requirements, drawdown limits, and such things which the markets should dictate for you. So yeah, know your level of risk according to how markets, you know, I'll be safe in the markets and I'll be able to again get a return in the markets. I'll survive and I'll also thrive. Unlike you're making so much money this time, the next time you don't have it. Or you don't have anything, then in a month you have everything again.
Mm-hmm.
So balancing that level of risk, attack and defense is paramount if this business is for you. But if you're not at that balance, it becomes difficult for you to be in the markets or for this game to be for you.
Because
me, I have friends. I have a friend personally who it was very difficult for her to just trade a $200 account. She had it for a very long time, but
she didn't trade
it. She never traded it, like just executing it. She knows some principles, but
She couldn't press it.
Again. She couldn't. And the business is not for her.
You can't press the button.
Hey, come with me, yeah, you kid. The business is not for you. You can't press it. I've got a mambo.
Okay, you finished your point?
Yeah, and I think on that point, again, it comes with your perception of risk and also your perception with losses. I feel like also if generally you're not okay, you're not calm with a losing or failure, this business will not be for you because you will fail very, very many times.
Mm-hmm.
You will fail probably more than you win before you start winning well. So the failure part of trading is so much that if you can't be okay with failure, it becomes very difficult to become again a trader or to long-term survive and survive through the 3, 4, 5 years, 10 years learning journey to get to where you are. So yeah, Nkubali, you'll fail a couple of times. You'll fail publicly. But just keep on pushing.
Yeah, for me, my last point is if you're not disciplined, it cannot work.
Only disciplined.
Only disciplined survive. Eh? Disciplined, he says what?
A free life.
Eliud Kipchoge. Mm. And this just, It's across the whole board, not only in trading, but in any career. If you lack trading discipline, if you lack any discipline, if it's any career, even that engineering you're doing, if you lack the discipline of doing what is necessary for you to become a good engineer, then you'll become good at it. Trading requires, like we tell our students a lot, trading requires you at the end of the day. I'm just showing you what you need to do. Or rather, what we do. We teach you, we show you what you need to do in order to become a good trader. From there, it's up to you to do what needs to be done. And if you can do it consistently, then it won't happen. You won't become a good trader. What Ken was saying, you'll see a few students are very much progressing, which you can easily say that this person is quite disciplined. They do what needs to be done at the right time. They do it. But the other people who are just not disciplined, they can't take time to analyze the markets, watch the videos we tell them, do the homework we've given, go through some content that they need to go through in order to become good. Such stuff is hard. If you can't become disciplined in trading and in any other career, then you won't. And I think that comes a lot with a lot of commitment and vision. Seeing where you want to go and being committed to it, then you become disciplined. You can see the end goal. You can see that light at the end of the tunnel and you know what needs to be done in order for you to get there. And that's why you see a lot of people doing videos for transformational body videos, how they took pictures before, they had a vision of where they want to go, they're not yet there, but they worked on it, and discipline and consistency got them to that point. So same thing with trading. If you can't apply discipline, then you won't become a good trader. And trading requires you. And discipline is tested mostly when you don't want to do what is necessary for you to, what is required of you to be done. For example, it's raining season. You need to go to the gym. Your gym maybe is calisthenics. You do it outside, you're jogging. Now, because it's raining, then you can't do it. Okay? Then you're not disciplined enough. Discipline enough is when you do it even when you're not, when you don't feel like it, when the odds are against you of doing it, but you still do it. That's being disciplined. It's the same thing, and the Bible says it well. It's not about discipline, but it's about giving. It's not all about just giving, it's about cheerful giver. If you just give, because let's say I can come to you, Taras, and tell you, hey, you're very generous, but you're giving me something you don't like. Like, for example,
vitu taki.
I don't like, I'm not a big fan of cake, and I bring cake a lot to the office. But it doesn't make me really generous, because I don't like it, so I won't eat it.
So a cheerful giver is the one who gives what they like.
What they really want.
Like, you give me that iPhone right now.
Yeah, then you're like,
a cheerful giver.
You really, like, I had food, and I really am hungry, but Ken is also hungry. I give you it. I really wanted it. It was mine, but I gave it to you.
That is my pajun meshiba.
Exactly. You know, kunile. Kianu, Ken is very generous, but I'm a shiba all the time. You get my point. So it's doing that you really.
Ile, if you have 1,000, you give 100. You're more generous than the guy with 1,000,000 giving out 10,000.
Exactly.
Well, let's say one of our you kid. Round for 11, you kid.
The women.
Jesus said, "You give what you have. You give whatever you feel like giving. If I even give 10 bob and I have 10 million, I felt okay like giving that."
My Lord, you're not a cheerful giver. That is the point. You know,
anyway.
You're not a cheerful giver.
More or less. So, to go back to my point here. So, discipline. Do that even when it's not, when you don't feel like it, when it's not required of you even to do it, but you still do it either way. Now that's the true test of being disciplined or being a giver. That's a bonus on top of it. So
you
that's
just trade even if you don't feel like trading.
No, you're losing the point. That you trade really because like, feel like trading.
No, like, not like trading, like pressing, but
yeah.
But you're just on trading even if it's not working.
Yeah, even
just
if it's not working. You're on the chart work, you're doing the back test, you're doing all that. And I'm sure most of the time you're doing back test is when you can even do other things. You can go watch a movie, you can go have fun, you can go have a drink with the boys. But you're like, no.
Let me back test.
So that's my last point, Ken.
I think my final point would be to sum up what you've all said, and it is, you must be willing to go through the training process. I don't think there's anyone who was born a very disciplined person. I don't think there's anyone who was born being perfect at balancing risk-seeking and risk-aversion. I don't think there's anyone who was born as a balanced character. Like, those things are illusions that we have.
Mm.
Majority of those things, you either acquired them as you were growing up, or you had to sit down, take yourself through a learning process, and transform yourself into a different person. And if you're not willing to do that, if you're not willing to go through that training, then you don't stand any chance. You get? Mm-hmm. So for me, I'd go with, just like most people might want to be in the army, but they're not willing to go through the training of the army, you know? And then Kimbi August G5, stuck here, V2.
So you want to go to heaven, but don't go through hell.
Exactly. That's my last point. If you want to become a trader, you must be willing to go through the process that it takes for you to become a trader. And if you're not willing, then it won't happen and you should just ditch it. So be willing to go through that process. Because also, as we've learned most of these things in the job, you came in, you thought it works like this, then you had to learn that it doesn't work like this and you had to stop some things. You came in with this preconception that things move like this, but they don't work like that, so you had to work on yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you are not very patient, but you have been taught by the markets that you must be patient. You are not very disciplined, but you've been taught by the markets that you have to be disciplined. So it's all about being patient enough to go through the learning process. It's not rocket science. You can get it, but Are you willing to go through it? Are you willing to lose money for 3-4 years as you're learning something? If you're not, then probably you shouldn't be doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the final point I'd have is just be willing to go through the training process. And it's a grueling process. Like, it's not something easy. It's very difficult. If you're willing to do that, then you'll go far.
Okay. As we close, maybe you can just ask a question which has been resonating in my mind just as you guys were talking. And as we were talking, is the points we've mentioned, interest, passion, taking information, risk-seeking, risk aversion.
Discipline.
Discipline. I feel like most industries demand this, right? If you want to be an athlete, if you want to even become a good doctor, you won't be a good doctor if you're not taking in information well. If you're not willing to operate on a person knowing this person can die. See? What makes trading or with other careers which probably demand a similar level of grit? How do I phrase this? What makes trading inherently
different?
Different or again difficult or again have a very, very statistically proven, very low success rate?
That's the end of your question. To look like you're talking.
Think around around that question. And again, I've been asking myself, is the success rate of other industries better? Mm. Is becoming a great successful engineer odds, as you always say, probably less than 5% of traders see the other side.
It's a question you want us to answer it.
Can be food for thought, even for the general public.
Is it less than 5% of traders make it to the other side, or is it 5% of those who have ever attempted trading?
Because if you say attempted, it's even less.
I feel like that stat is not of. Like, if you take that stat of people who've been in the markets maybe 5 years or more, that start will change.
I think it becomes better.
Yeah, you need to ask yourself, how many people have gone through the training process and have not gotten to the other side?
Okay, yeah, let's use that. Okay, let's say you went for training, similar to someone who went to campus to learn medicine.
Uh-huh.
Would you gauge, would trading be, have a higher odds of you becoming a good trader? Or, because I feel like trading, you can be in business for 10 years. Something happens and you go back to zero. You see? For most other careers, it's just easy. Maybe you might change jobs. Probably I was a doctor and I got fired up. I looked for another thing. Like, what makes people perceive trading as very difficult? When I also feel like what we've talked about here, that you need to have to become a good trader, you also need to have them in any other industries if you want to be good.
Engineering and trading all require a lot of immense time, patience, hard work. Now, when you're going for engineering and medicine, you know this is 6 years. You know it's going to take time. Trading, however, everyone knows when it comes to my money, I can take control of it. Within the next 2 months, I'll be good at this, I'll be making money. When that reality is not met, I knew engineering is going to take time and it's hard. So when I saw that, I stopped it. You get? But this other side, for money, people normally take money into their own hands. I don't need an investor. I don't need anyone to advise me, consultant. You get? So the success rate on that one, when people find the reality and realize, this thing is hard than I expected, you just decide, I'm out. So that was what was going to answer. Why that success rate is very low, it's because of the approach people come with it. And when they meet the reality, they act accordingly, quite different.
So probably they just didn't know how hard or how long it was going to take.
Exactly.
In simple terms, it attracted the wrong people.
Yes, it attracted the wrong people.
Yeah, I think that's a good perspective, wrong people being attracted into the markets. Again, I think the reason for that is, I think there's no rule for entry.
That's important.
There's no rule for entry.
Yeah, there's no qualification. Anyone and everyone.
No qualifications.
Yeah, anyone and everyone.
Because yeah, it's so finance, man. It cuts across everyone's life.
Mm, you can't tell me not to open a smoky business. I'll open it. I want to trade. I want to trade smokies. I want to trade currencies.
You're hungry, yeah.
See. But you're just putting perspective into it. Like, everyone can come and do business here.
Yeah.
But I've been really thinking about that question. Like, I feel like all industries need these things. You can't become good at anything if you're not spending this much time.
I'd say the answer is, and like many other fields, trading requires a mastery of the person himself.
Exactly.
Which is hard.
Beat yourself. Mm. Trading is only equated to athletics. Like, there are very few industries which, for you to become good, you must beat yourself. Like, you must master yourself.
True.
Anyway, thank you so much, guys, for listening to us. Share with your friends. Subscribe if you've not subscribed yet. Visit us at Lavington Mall, 4th floor, Chandarana building. We are always open Monday to Friday, 8 to 6 p.m. So make sure to visit us and we'll see how we can help you guys. Thank you so much for listening to us. See you in the next show.
Peace.